brush your teeth, shave once a day, polish your shoes, attend to bowel movement. Stand up straight. You're leaving this afternoon for Dresden, a beautiful city, I'm told. You won't be cooped up. The food will be plentiful. You know something? It's been 5 years now since I've seen a tree, a flower, a woman, or a child, or a dog, or a cat. And don't worry about bombs, by the way. Dresden is undefended and contains no war industries or troops of any importance. Good luck to you all. Jolly good luck, and farewell, Americans.
And so it was time to go to Dresden, and the trip was a lark. They had come in 2 boxcars, now they left far more comfortably in 4. Sunlight and mild air came in through the ventilators. They arrived in Dresden at 5 in the afternoon. The open doorways of the boxcars framed the loveliest city that most of the Americans had ever seen. The skyline was intricate and voluptuous and enchanted and absurd. It looked to Billy Pilgrim like a Sunday school picture of heaven. The only other city he had ever seen was Indianapolis, Indiana. Every other city in Germany had been bombed and burned. Dresden had not suffered so much as a cracked window pane. The planes overhead were always on their way to somewhere else. Leipzig, Chemnitz, Plauen, places like that. So it goes. Streetcars clanged, telephones rang, there were theaters and restaurants, there was a zoo. 8 Dresdeners, wearing new uniforms who had been sworn into the army the day before, were assigned to guard 100 American soldiers. These guards knew what sick and foolish people they themselves appeared to be. And it was they who had to earn obedience and respect from tall, cocky, murderous American infantrymen. But when they saw the bearded Billy Pilgrim in his blue toga and silver shoes, and Paul Lazaro with his broken arm and fizzing with rabies, and poor old high school teacher Edgar Darby, mournfully pregnant with patriotism and middle age and imaginary wisdom, the Dresden guard smiled, and then laughed. There was nothing to be afraid of. Here? Here wasn't terror, but light opera. And out of the railroad yard and into the streets marched the light opera, and Billy led the parade. But with his memories of the future, he knew this city would be smashed to smithereens in 30 days, and most of the people watching him would be dead. So it goes. The parade pranced, staggered, and reeled to the gate of the Dresden slaughterhouse and went inside. They were taken to a building which had been a shelter for pigs about to be butchered. There was a big number 5 over the door.
Halt! This is where you will be stationed. You must please commit to memory this address, in case you get lost in our big city. Schlechthof 5. Say it, please. Schlechthof. Fünf. Good. Schlechthof means slaughterhouse. 5 is 5.
Billy Pilgrim got into a chartered airplane 25 years after that. He knew it was going to crash, but he didn't want to make a fool of himself by saying so. It was carrying 25 optometrists to a convention in Montreal. Outside, his wife was waving goodbye and eating a Peter Paul Mounds bar. There was a barbershop quartet on board. They were optometrists, too. They called themselves the FEBS, an acronym for Four-Eyed Bastards. Billy closed his eyes, knowing the plane was soon to crash. He went back to 1944, with the Three Musketeers and Roland Weary shaking him and bonking his head against a tree.
You can just leave me alone, guys. Go on without me.
The plane crashed on top of Sugarbush Mountain in Vermont, and only Billy and the co-pilot survived. Everyone else was killed. So it goes. The people who got to the crash first were young Austrian skiers from the nearby resort. In their wind mask with red...